Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode,
listen, really, what more could you have done? And really do an inventory. Like, go through realistically, you know, what more could you have done? And often when you do that, you realize if you really penetrate deep and you really ask the questions, you will generally come up with, well, really, there wasn't much else I could have done.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of the Rewilded Human Podcast. Welcome, Dr. Lucille. So nice to have you back with us.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you, Lynn.
And I just want to tell you guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure that you like and subscribe. This is so important for the algorithm, and that so we'll be popping up on your feed and you'll see more of us. Now, today, Dr. Lucille, I would be like to kind of hijack the podcast a little bit with the very first question of my own, if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely.
Would that be okay? So before we jump into everyone else's question, I have a question for you. As you know, what happened last week, and maybe some of my followers who might be watching this, last week we lost our beloved little toy poodle, Ruby. She passed away suddenly, completely unexpectedly. She got a little bit sick in the morning, and within a couple of hours, she was dead. She was still very young, only 10 years old for a poodle. And so my question for you, the first question regarding this, how do you deal with the grief of losing an animal? And people will tell you, oh, it's just a dog. You know, like, what's the base? It's just a dog. People see this very differently from losing a beloved human. But I know you are also, you have a fur baby like we have, and I know how much you love him as well. So I just thought this would be a question that you can hopefully try to address, and I'm sure a lot of people are going through this.
You know, I'm very, very sorry for your loss, because it is so, so big, really. And I think a lot of people do minimize how important the loss of a pet is in a person's life. Because they just become so much a part of your whole life, your whole energy field, sometimes more so than our other family and friends, because they're with us so much more of the time. And it is a difficult thing to navigate every time you have to go through it. And I've gone through it, I don't know, 4 or 5 times with all the dogs that I've had that have died. And it's never easy. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced it as easy. It feels like something has been wrenched right out of you, like the big hole created in your heart. So it is really important that, you know, if you're the one facing the grief of the loss of the pet, that you allow yourself whatever you need to just feel the grief and take care of yourself around it. And I'm very sorry you got those comments about, oh, it's just a dog. You know, that is so insensitive and so uncaring. And it's usually comes from people who don't really have pets, or they don't. Dog people, you know, and it's their, sometimes it's just their misguided attempt to kind of cheer you up, which it makes no sense at all, and it only adds to the pain of it. And you learn to stop talking to those people. That's the other thing.
It's true.
I don't think there's any one way of doing grief around the loss of a pet. I really don't. I think it depends a lot on the relationship you had with the dog. And you've had a number of dogs too, and you may notice that your relationship with each one of them is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely. We lost our Bimba 2 years ago, but she was older and she was already getting sick. She had heart problems. Her legs were getting weak. So we knew the time was coming. And it was almost a relief when she passed away, because, you know, to make that decision to put them down is also really, really difficult. How do you get to that point? That's very hard. So when she finally passed away, it was almost like a relief. And we knew she had a good life. She lived for 16 years and she was a larger dog. They normally live to 11, 12. So we thought she had an amazing life and we felt blessed to have had her. And, you know, even though that she left this big hole in our lives and in our hearts, we still had the two little ones left. And now, because Ruby's passing was so sudden, and now we're down to one dog, just the whole dynamic, the whole energy of the house changed so much. And I don't know if, I'm sure you've seen this before, but I've never experienced, like, the physical manifestation of the grief. It was like this shock that my system went through. Like the first night I was shivering, my whole body was shivering under three blankets. The next day, every single part of my body was in pain. I couldn't move. It's like when you have like the worst flu in the world. I've never experienced this, not even, you know, with losing grandparents. I've never experienced this kind of shock to my system. Mm-hmm. And then I had 3 days of horrible diarrhea. I mean, the physical manifestation of the grief, like you don't really think of this part, but then you realize how stress affects your body, that stress affects you so much, that stress actually makes you physically ill. Have you encountered this? Do you notice this a lot?
Absolutely. Now, in all the cases with my dogs, it wasn't quite that sudden. The deaths were not quite that sudden, but nonetheless, when they did happen, I was kind of shocked too. There was a shock to the system, and it was more that I felt like I was walking around like a zombie, and that I wasn't really present, and it just felt like I kind of lost myself somewhere, and there was incredible fatigue, you know, just having, like, it was a real effort to just keep moving through the day. But I have had other people also express that kind of reaction that you just described too, when they've had a sudden loss of a pet or a sudden loss of anybody in their lives. And I don't think we can minimize how much of a stress it is to our whole physical being. It impacts us on every level, especially if it's a shock, like it happens suddenly. And the other thing that's really interesting is you therefore have to kind of really be gentle with yourself, like really gentle and tender, and not try to take on things like, oh, get right back to work. I was always one of those get right back to work people, you know, and just, well, it happened and I just have to be there for other people and I just have to do my job. And it was so stressful. I put way too much of a burden on myself.
Yeah.
And other people were commenting too, like, what are you doing? You just had this death of your beautiful dog. You should take some time off. And I'd think, no, I have to keep moving on. And in retrospect, it really would have helped a lot if I just followed the instincts of my body and just, I can't handle it. Just said, I can't handle anything. And, you know, taking a big break.
But maybe that was your way of coping. Maybe that was your way of keeping busy and keeping your mind off things.
Sure, it was. No, that's right. But, you know, if you're trying to keep your mind off things, it gets stored in the body anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. So all that stress, all that grief just gets stored in the body anyway. And so I think it would have been, in retrospect for me, it would have been a great idea to just take a few days off, just relax, just let my body get back to its normal state, just gradually, you know, again, it's really important to understand that death and loss impacts us on every level of our being, every single level of our being. And it was also interesting for me, that a lot of other people had a lot of grief too. Like I would, because I see clients in my home and I would have the dog there. Mm-hmm. And of course the clients got bonded to the dog, and they went into grief. They started tearing up when they heard about the death, or they knew that the death was coming, and it really impacted them. I remember one woman telling me, like, months later, she told me, you know, I can almost see Petey. He was my previous dog, Petey, in the corner over there. I keep looking and he's not there, but I have a feeling that he's there. And I also, I don't know if you're having that feeling of, you know, out of the corner of your eye, you think the dog is there.
Yes, all the time.
Yes.
All the time. I see my husband coming out of his office and I almost see like the shadow of Ruby walking behind him because she was just following him all the time. And I just feel her essence everywhere. It's and you know, and you deal with a lot of guilt. Like you start thinking like, could I have done something? My husband's dealing with that because he was the one, he was home with her and he's thinking, if I would have gone to the hospital an hour earlier, could I have saved her? So I'm trying to help him deal with this as well. And I'm looking for answers and I'm trying to come to peace with it all, that because I don't want him to carry that around, that he could have done something more. Like what a horrible thing to feel that way. So what would you recommend for dealing with the guilt aspect of losing a loved one, losing a pet?
Well, you know, guilt is also like really an impediment to healing fully from grief. It complicates things so much, and it creates, again, more stress on the whole being. And so it is really important to, especially if you've, you know, if you have a really supportive partner like your husband has you, you know, to sit down and say, listen, what realistically could I've done? I think everybody needs to go through that because I had that too. You know, should I have put him down earlier? Should I have put him on a different diet? Should what, you know, on and on. And it serves no purpose really to keep beating up on yourself. But if you have someone in your life who can, you know, either you do it with yourself or you do it with a supportive person to say, listen, really, what more could you have done? And really do an inventory. Like go through realistically, you know, what more could you have done? And often when you do that, you realize if you really penetrate deep and you really ask the questions, you will generally come up with, well, really, there wasn't much else I could have done. I had no idea what was happening. You know, the dog can't tell you, the dog can't talk. And, you know, even if you take a dog to a vet, they're limited in knowing what to do. You know, so many times I've had misdiagnoses of my dogs, and you know, and they're trained professionals, and if they can't figure it out, how are we supposed to figure it out? So sometimes if you just really sit yourself down and ask yourself those questions, what really could I have done? Let's just really take a detailed inventory of all the things that I could have done, and really, does it make sense that I could have done any differently? Sometimes that kind of alleviates the guilt.
Yeah.
The other thing that I found is that there are a couple of things. Number one, if the guilt is really sticky, to do some bilateral alternating stimulus to your body. So I do EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing with my clients.
Yes.
But anybody can do it on themselves. And what it is if you apply a bilateral stimulus, so right, left, to your body. So it could be tapping on the tops of your knees, or it could be squeezing your upper arms in a kind of alternating fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be doing this, which is just touching the tips of your thumbs with your index fingers. Yeah, just like that. And you just allow yourself to feel the guilt and you start doing the movement, you can find that it really starts relieving the guilt. It can be very amazing. Even going for a walk as you're feeling the guilt is helpful, because that's also bilateral alternating stimulus to the body. And for some reason that creates more complex neural connections in the brain. And that starts your problem solving. Your brain goes into problem solving mode. And then you begin to get insights as you're doing it. Like, well, you know, really, I was there and I was looking and, you know, I didn't neglect her. And I, you know, but this came on just so suddenly. I have no idea how I could have even known what to do. It would just be completely by surprise. And then you develop a much more realistic perspective.
Yeah.
Of what you did and didn't do.
And this is called EMDR, right, Lucille? EMDR? EMDR.
Eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing.
Okay,
you do not need to necessarily find a practitioner. You can do it simply on yourself and just see if it helps. If you find it doesn't help, if you find the guilt is still, you know, really tearing you apart, then yes, sometimes people do need to go to therapists. You know, I've had to work with people on grief over the loss of their pets that's complicated with, you know, trauma and guilt and all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
You should definitely also steer clear of the people who are not supportive. They will trigger that guilt thing. They will trigger all the negative feelings that you have about yourself, all your negative judgments. And this may be, you know, something more we can discuss, but people without knowing what they're doing, when they're asking you about the death of the pet, they'll almost sound accusatory, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah, what, you know, is there something you could have done? They don't say it that way, but it's kind of, the pet, how did that happen? Like, how could that possibly happen? And it's making you feel like, wow, maybe I really did something wrong there. You know,
I really struggled
so
with that because when I sent out the messages initially to like the close friends and relatives and told them what happened, and everyone's reaction right away was, oh no, what happened? So it's like everyone's like addicted to the drama, to the, you know, everyone wants the glory details of what happened. Because and everyone, it was just unilateral. Everyone asked the exact same thing in every language that I was communicating. Everyone was like, but what happened? What happened? What happened? And I'm like, I don't want to relive what happened 100 times and keep explaining it to people.
Yes.
I think I'm sure I would have done the same thing. So when somebody tells me someone passed away, we automatically jump to, oh no, what happened, right? So could be like a kinder way to approach this when somebody shares a loss with you? I think now learning from this, I would just say, you know, my deepest condolences. I'm here if you need me. Mm-hmm. Also, don't call the person right away. Like my phone was ringing off the hook. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to tell everyone over and over what happened. I didn't want to keep reliving all the details. And so what would you advise to someone who is dealing with a friend or a relative who is going through grief like this or loss like this? What would be the kindest thing to say to them?
You know, what you just said, I think, is really good. I like that that response that you came up with. I think the most important thing is to offer empathy and support, and do not do an interrogation. Just do not. And the person really needs time, like you do, to take care of themselves in all of this and to process it themselves. They do not need to be interrogated. And you're right. You know, our first instinct is always to ask, oh, my God, what happened? And I think the best thing is to hold back on that. You know, when the person is ready, if the person is ever ready to talk about it, they'll talk about it. But it is it's really nobody else's business.
Exactly.
Everybody gets so anxious and they go also into a bit of shock. And, you know, they need the certainty of knowing what happened, because that kind of oddly makes people feel better if they know what happened. But that's none of anybody else's business.
And then, you know, you can go on the rumor mill. Then you can call this person. Oh, guess what happened to Linda? Oh, my God. Did you hear what happened?
Yes.
Right? And it's just.
Yes. And then it becomes like, you know, feeding frenzy of sharks, you know, after the gossipy details, you know, and everybody wants to be special. I know this little special detail about that, you know, experience. And did you know that she did this or she did not do that? And it's ugly.
Why are people so addicted to bad news? Why are we as humans?
Well, we could do a whole podcast on that one. Yes,
we could. Absolutely.
Right? You know, there are many, many reasons for that. One of the reasons is we all have a pesky little thing called an ego, you know. And for me, what the ego is that really almost malevolent judge. It's a kind of malevolent judge, or sometimes I've referred to it as the inner demon. Mm-hmm. And it will eat at you personally. It will tell you constantly, as you know, every day, you're not good enough, you're stupid, you who are you to try to better your life? You're a loser, blah, blah, blah. It'll go on and on and on. But you know, that same ego will also turn against other people and be very judgmental of other people. And so sometimes when people, without even knowing it, they can feel better about themselves if they feel that somebody else has screwed up even more, right? They can feel elevated by believing that, oh, somebody else did something even worse than I could ever do, you know? And it's a really false and ugly way of boosting your self-esteem, you know? So that need to be special, you know, you've got special information about this crisis. And so that makes you special in the eyes of everybody else who wants the news, right? So I think of it like, it's a little bit like toxic narcissism, you know, where you have to just elevate yourself, elevate how you feel about yourself by stepping on somebody else.
Yeah, it's quite
and people
sad.
Will get into it. Yeah, it's very, very sad. And you'll see it. It's just, and how it can just take hold. And it's like a wildfire, you know, everybody gets in on this, you know, especially, you know, like being so much on social media, how if a celebrity has something bad happen to them, how the everybody just feeds off of it. It's like sharks, like in a feeding frenzy.
No, that's a good analogy. It's absolutely like that. And it's really sad. And I think when something like this, a tragedy like this happens, then you become even more sensitive to human nature and how people are reacting and their energy around you. And I think probably that's why it's really important to kind of withdraw and be by yourself for a little bit. And, you know,
absolutely.
I stepped away. I stopped working. I stepped back from social media for a whole week. I just wanted nothing to do with anything. And I think that's probably the best way to do it, right? To kind of take time to yourself, because everyone else's energy just kind of gets into this whole, it just becomes a mess, right? And it's much more difficult to heal and to make sense of what's happening around you, right?
I agree. You have to protect yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly the right thing. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lucille. I mean that I think a lot of people will get a lot of benefit out of this episode, because I think just, you know, when I posted this on social media, I got so many comments and so many people have lost their pets just very recently. So I think a lot of people are going through this, and hopefully this will also help them in their coping skills. And I think I pretty much hijacked this whole episode. So I'm going to just follow up with a final question for you regarding animals. And that would be, where do you think animals go after death? Our pets.
Well, where do we go after death? I'm certainly not the expert on it, but you know, I would just pose a question here, which is, it's always fascinated me. Why don't we know where we or our pets go after death? We seem to have to rely on what the religions tell us, you know?
Yeah.
So I've always found that fascinating. They tell us, oh, it's this great, wonderful thing, this heaven, and you're reunited with your pets in heaven. And I don't mean to be in any way derogatory or critical of people who believe that. If you believe that, that's wonderful. It's just that I don't have the final answer on it. And I'm always noticing the contradiction, okay? That if what happens after death is so amazing and wonderful, why aren't we all rushing to go there? Why do we expend so much effort, you know, taking care of ourselves, our loved ones, our pets? You know, people will spend tens of thousands of dollars on their pets if they're ill, just to keep them alive. I know I've done that, you know, where I've gone to extraordinary measures to keep some of my pets alive. And so it makes me wonder, you know, well, okay, if death is so amazingly, amazingly amazing, why don't we just all surrender to it and have a ball? And I know that's a hard thing for a lot of people who are going through grief to hear, and it's probably not the right time for someone in acute grief be questioning. But that's about the only answer I can give, which is I don't know. And I think it's very strange that we don't really know and that we have to live on stories.
Yes.
Of what happened.
Absolutely.
To our pets, absolutely. Right?
Well, guys, if you're listening to this and you have some insight for us, let us know what you think, where the pets go, because
yes.
We'll hear from you. And, you know, send us your questions. Keep sending those questions. We have quite a few to get through in the following episodes. So I think we'll wrap this one up. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
And thank you, Lynn, for a very, very, very important topic for this podcast. I'm glad that you brought it up.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lucille. And we'll see everyone in the next episode.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.